So we think of the various revolutions in our modern lives as electronic or genetic, digital or technological. In fact, nearly everything that's happened in science, technology, culture, history boils down to this. Bach's Brandenburg Concerto, number 3, the Presto Third Movement. Thoughts in the mind, in this case, Bach's, become markings on the page, become this beautiful, complex music. And the music arrives in the ears and gets mapped into our emotions, into our memories, cells, neurons. The mapping is infinite. In this case, the Brandenburg Concerto is also on an MP3 file. Messages in cascades of various codes. Recognize that? Morse code. Dots and dashes.
SOS.
Yep, it's from the Titanic, actually. The code, Morse code, was invented by a painter, Samuel Morse, by the way. That code becomes language. Well, here to tell the vast story of really the huge convergence of science and knowledge into a study of something called information theory is James Glick. The Information, A History, A Theory, A Flood is his latest book. He joins us from Tampa, Florida. Jim, it's great to talk to you again.
You too, John. Always a pleasure.
You know, you wrote Chaos really almost a generation ago, it seems like. That was about uncertainty and unpredictability in phenomena in the world. This is about finding certainty in information. And in many ways, it's a huge frame of the history of science. But let's begin with the story of the man who coined the phrase information theory, Mr. Shannon.
Claude Shannon is sort of the central figure of my book. He appears in the beginning, and then he disappears for a while, and then he comes back again, and he keeps making appearances on the page. He is not exactly a household name. He was born in northern Michigan in 1916, and at a pivotal moment in history, in 1948, at Bell Labs, the very year they announced the invention of the transistor, the piece of hardware that really changed everything, he much more quietly published a paper called A Mathematical Theory of Communication. And in that paper, what we now think of as information theory was born practically full-blown. It was the first time anybody used the word bit to describe a basic unit, yes or no, on, off, one or zero, of all of this stuff in which we swim and live.
And part of the story here is how scientists and theorists have to steal words from the language. You described that Isaac Newton had to steal the idea of force to create the laws of motion because we thought of force as a much more generic notion. Same with the word information. It doesn't mean the same thing today as it did in Shannon's time.
No, that's right. We need to be aware that scientists use words in very specialized ways, and that was true of information. Once upon a time, information was instructions, news, gossip, words. Today, for us, as you pointed out at the very beginning of the show, information is everything. It encompasses music and images and anything that can be conveyed across telephone lines or stored in computers or sent by email, all of this stuff. But for scientists, it had to become a mathematical concept. And that means that Claude Shannon, in his theory of information, was thinking of something very dry and very specific that had nothing to do with meaning. The amount of information in a message, he was emphatic in saying, was independent of whether the message was true or false or whether it was just complete nonsense.
All right, let's do a quiz here. We might conclude that, in fact, the idea that information explains everything means that all of reality is an illusion. And in many ways, your book sets out to show, no, that's not the case at all. But explain to me, physics, information?
Yes. It from bit is the oracular expression coined that John Wheeler, the great late collaborator of Einstein and Bohr, used. There's a sense among physicists more and more that not just matter and energy, but information lies at the heart of the stuff that they do, too.
And so that when there's energy exchanges going on, we can explain it in terms of the way information is exchanged in something like a computer, and that's not to oversimplify. All right, second question. Biology. Information? No.
Oh, yeah. Biology has become an information science, too, almost more than any other. It's not a coincidence that when information theory arrived on the scene, began to spread in the 1950s and then the 1960s, it was the same time that molecular biologists were figuring out what DNA was. And DNA is a specific chemical thing, but it's also a code. It is all of the information needed to produce an organism stored in an alphabet, a form of memory. All of the language of biology has become words that are used in information science, too.
And let's talk some real physics here in this point. In the middle of your book, I want to give people a sense of just how immersive this great book is here. You talk about entropy. We think of entropy as, you know, a state of the chaos in a system or a system that's getting more and more disorganized and messed up over time. And thermodynamics is really the theory that specifies entropy. How is that an information phenomenon?
Well, this is one of Claude Shannon's most difficult insights, his association of this abstract thing, information, with an idea from thermodynamics, entropy, which is a measure of disorder in systems that are hot and cold. Heat flows from a warm thing to a cold thing, and the universe seems to be headed toward a state of maximum entropy, a measure of disorder. Well, it seems perverse to us that information should be associated with disorder, but the point really is that information is surprise. If a message just tells you what you already know, there's no information in it. Every bit that's a new piece of surprise is information.
And so entropy is the extent to which a system can surprise you because of its uncertainty.
And because of its disorder.
Now, which do you prefer in writing about, chaos or information, which seems more precise, more straightforward, more acting according to laws?
Well, you know, neither one is cut and dried, and neither one explains everything, and it's sort of... It's not my business, I don't think, to have a preference. But this book about information, in a way, feels like the one I've been writing all these years. I first heard about the idea of a theory of information when I was writing that chaos book from the scientists I was getting to know, because it was part of their work, too. Information is associated with chaos, and they were very much aware, these physicists, of Shannon's theory of information.
Finally, does the fact that we can map, or at least the information theory suggests that ultimately we can map every sort of tangible system into an interior sort of information system to specify things in terms of bits, make our real world any less real?
You mean, are we just headed towards some kind of solipsism where everything is our own dream?
Sure, that's a good one.
I hope not. I don't think our world is any less real. I think we worry about the reason that the last part of my subtitle is a flood is that we do feel deluged now that everything appears to be information, and information is coming to us so easily and in such massive quantities. We worry about sorting out what's true from what's false, fact from fiction. We need to become information experts just to cope.
And jump into the flood and learn to navigate it is sort of the happy story of information theory and why it's such an important scientific story. James Glick, thanks so much.
It's been a pleasure.
Speaking from Tampa, Florida, James Glick is the author of The Information, A History, A Theory, A Flood.
Well, all morning we've been talking about information and a flood of it, along with some chaos. That's some of it associated with the hearings going on in Washington today from Congressman Peter King on the radicalization of American Muslims. We're getting a lot of great responses from you. You have a lot to say. You can see some of your responses at our website, and you can add your own. Either call us at 878-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. All the data is good here. Give us your take. I'm Celeste Headlee.
Embrace the flood of information and everything else. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.